We come then this morning to the parable of the sower, and for the fourth time as we look at the different kinds of soil in the human heart, Jesus describes the wayside, the pathway, which is a picture of the hard heart, the rocky soil, thin layer of soil underneath a thick layer of rock, the shallow heart, a seeming receiving of the message of the word of God, but it's a temporary enthusiasm, it fades away. The thorny soil, the thorn bush grows and chokes the seed, and the crowded heart, a heart that's full of other things, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, enter in and choke the word. But Jesus speaks this morning about the fruitful heart, and in the fruitful heart, there's a heart free from the problems which made fruit-bearing impossible in the case of the other three sorts of soil. Now, in those other sorts of soil, we're not talking about falling from grace. We're not talking about someone who was a Christian, then becoming not a Christian. No, those three kinds of soil, the wayside, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, are pictures of a response which is not a saving response to the word of God. But the good ground is well-ploughed, soft earth, in contrast to the hard soil of the footpath. It's earth where there's some depth, as opposed to that shallow layer of soil on hard rock. And it's ground cleared of the thorn bushes, and even the roots of the thorn bushes, so that as the seed grows, there are no thorns to grow up and choke the seed. And Jesus said, chapter 4, verse 8, other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. In every case, on the good ground, the seed brought forth a harvest. Different in degrees, yes, but there was a harvest, there was a crop. And Jesus explains what this means. Chapter 4, verse 20 in Mark's Gospel. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let me just read you the explanation in Matthew and Luke's Gospel as well. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, Jesus explains it like this. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then Luke explaining the same thing, chapter 8, verse 15. Jesus says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So here are people who have spiritual understanding of the message of the Bible, an understanding given to them by the work of the Holy Spirit. Here are people who don't just give a temporary attention to what the Bible is saying. No, they respond to it wholeheartedly. They understand that sin is offensive to God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the glorious Savior from sin, sent from heaven, and that to trust in Jesus is the only way of forgiveness and life and peace and joy. They accept the word. They accept the word of God personally. They want to keep that word. The way they think, the way they feel, the way they act, the way they speak, the way they behave, their whole lifestyle. There's a change now because there's a receiving of the word of God. Keep the word of God. They hold it fast. They bear different degrees of fruitfulness, but they do bear fruit, and they continue to bear fruit through this life in this world until they're transplanted to heaven. So the main message of the parable is very clear and very obvious. The solid evidence that you are a Christian is that you bear fruit. That's the solid evidence that you're a Christian. You bear fruit. The wayside, the rocky ground, the thorny soil, there was no fruit, no crop, no harvest. None of those pictures represent the real Christian because there was no fruit. And Jesus says, by their fruit you'll know them. But the seed that fell on good ground, there was fruit. And it's ongoing, it continues. And it's the solid biblical evidence that the word of God has done something in your heart and life. So the question that should press on everybody's mind this morning is, what is this fruit? What is this fruit that shows that in my heart there's been a saving response to the gospel? If it's fruit that proves that your heart is good ground, what is the fruit? What is the fruit that shows you've received God's word? And the answer of the Bible is, it's your life. Your inward character and your outward conduct show whether or not you've received really God's word into your heart. Like I was saying with the boys and girls at the front earlier on, you sow barley seed, you produce a barley crop. You sow wheat seed, you produce a wheat crop. You sow corn seed, you sow corn crop. And just like they said, Bible seed produces Bible fruit. So what does the Bible say is the fruit that's evidenced by a response to the word of God that shows you've really received it into your heart? It hasn't just bounced off hard heart and just temporarily. You've got some enthusiasm, but it just fades away. It's not been choked by other things. What's this Bible fruit? Well, the first I would bring to you this morning is repentance, because that was the teaching of Jesus himself in Mark chapter 1. When Jesus began his ministry, he went into Galilee preaching that men and women should repent and believe in the gospel. Mark 1 verse 15. So the Bible challenges the human heart. Look, it says, you're alienated from God. You live a life of an independent, self-promoting person. You fail to recognize that God is your creator. You are made to glorify and honor and serve God. But you've put other things first in your life. You're made to live for God and to enjoy him forever. Live by his laws, live by his commandments. But in Adam, we've all rebelled against God. And we've also individually turned to our own ways. And the result is we're under God's condemnation. So God says in the word of the gospel, repent. Stack arms. Give up a proud life. A self-sufficient life. A self-governing way of life. Turn from that. Turn to God. Turn from what you were never meant to be. Repentance is not something harsh or cruel or abnormal. It's a call to human beings to be what we were made to be. Loving sons and daughters of a great God. Willing servants of God. Obedient members of the family of God. And that's what repentance calls us to then. Turn from your own lifestyle. Turn to God. Seek him. Turn to God. And so this parable challenges us all this morning. Is there any evidence of that in your life? Have you turned from a self-sufficient, self-willed lifestyle to God? And you said to God, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to you, to thee. I'm giving my life away to God. I'm coming to him. Repentance. Second Bible fruit, faith. Again, in those first words of Jesus in his ministry, repent and believe in the gospel. Believe. Faith. If we stand before God helpless in our guilt, if our sin exposes us to divine wrath, we all must confess this morning there is no hope for us except for the salvation that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, your blood must cleanse me. Your righteousness must clothe me. You entrust your life to someone else. You say, in Jesus Christ, I find the whole answer, the complete answer, the only answer to how I can be saved, how I can be accepted before God. John Marius puts saving faith like this. He says, saving faith is whole-souled commitment to Christ. Not partial, you see. Not even mostly. Whole-souled commitment to Christ. In all the glory of his person and in all the perfection of his work, as he is so fully and freely offered to us in the gospel. That's saving faith, Professor John Murray says. It's a whole-souled thing. It's your whole heart. So the word of God comes proclaiming, repent, believe. And if your heart is good ground, you hear it, you understand it, you accept it. You say, this touches my heart in such a way that I must listen to that word and obey it, keep it, enfold it into my heart. And the result will be true repentance and true faith, whole-souled commitment to Christ in all the glory of his person and all the perfection of his work. In Explorers on a Friday night at the moment, the boys and girls are learning some of the verses from Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount. And we're teaching that because it describes the inward heart frame of mind which shows a saving response to the gospel. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You realize you can't save yourself. You're nothing. You can do nothing to save yourself. And the Holy Spirit reveals to your heart that even your best efforts, they're not acceptable to God. They're like filthy rags. You're spiritually bankrupt before the throne of God. You're poor in spirit, and you come to God. You say, Lord, you're coming to him empty-handed. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You say, just as I am, without one plea, I can't bring one thing to commend myself to God, but that your blood was shed for me, Lord Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So you don't excuse your sins or failings. You don't belittle or ignore them. There's a sense of guilt. There's a mourning over sin. And all the proud, arrogant, self-sufficient strut is taken out of your life. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's a receptive heart, a broken heart, a broken will before God. Self-will is gone. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You say, I desperately need the righteousness of another. I'm not right before God on my own. I need someone's righteousness before God. And the only righteousness that will satisfy a holy God is the perfect righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. So what do the Beatitudes, those verses from Matthew's Gospel, what do they describe? They describe this heart that Jesus is talking about here. The heart that receives the word of God. So I'm saying, have you received the word of God like that? In repentance, in faith. And then thirdly, and those are to do with inward dispositions, repentance and faith. But now the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible actually talks about the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in the life of a Christian. And that's described for us in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. That's in our church Bibles, it's page 786. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice that is not in the plural but in the singular, not the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, there's a unity about the work of the Holy Spirit producing fruit. That's in contrast to what is talked about the lusts of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When Christians receive the word of God and keep it in their heart, the fruit that you expect to be able to see, now this is something more outward, This is something that is seen, it's evidence. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So when the Christian lives in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, these characteristics begin to be evident in that person's life. The Holy Spirit is producing fruit, and that fruit will be manifest in the life, the will, the mind, the emotions, and the life of the Christian. So this supernatural joy and peace is not something that is just temperamental. It's something that the Holy Spirit produces. God does this in the lives of those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. The man and the woman without Christ cannot experience this love, joy, peace, because their sins have separated them from God. In this world, the fact that the fruit of the Spirit is not evident largely is due to human rebellion against God. Sin in your life cuts you off from God. But for those who acknowledge their need and their sins and turn to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and eternal life, God, the Holy Spirit, begins to work and produce fruit in their lives. So no one should deceive themselves this morning to say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus, but it's produced no change in my life at all. If you say that, there's something definitely wrong. The work of the Holy Spirit will produce a pattern of life, says the Bible, where the fruit of the Spirit begins to manifest itself. That's why Jesus spoke of being known by their fruits, Matthew 7, verses 19 to 21. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So on the day of judgment, no one will be able to say, oh, I really believed in my heart, but it made no change in my life. Jesus will say, you hypocrite. Out of the heart are the issues of life. You live a prayerless life, a life without the Bible, a life indifferent to the Ten Commandments, a life unconcerned about the fruit of the Spirit. That reveals a lawless heart, a spiritual rebel, a self-sufficient heart, uncleansed, unrenewed, unjustified, under divine wrath. So don't say this morning, oh, I'm all right before God, though my life is all over the place. No, God sees through that sham. The road to destruction is marked by people who play at religion, but whose lives are unchanged and are not marked by the fruit of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Put in the opposite. But if you are not in Christ, then you are not a new creation. Old things have not passed away, and nothing has become new. So is there any evidence of this Bible fruit? Repentance, faith, the fruit of the Spirit. And then fourthly, obedience to God. This inward attachment to Jesus Christ, if anyone is in Christ, means joined to him in faith, brings an evidence in lifestyle, which is outward, the fruit of the Spirit, and then also an obedience to God's word. If the Bible and its message by the work of the Spirit have taken root in your heart, you would expect to see, yes, Bible fruit, obedience to what the Bible says. How can you know if your heart has been made good soil? How can you know if you've received the seed of the word of God? Well, inwardly, in the heart, there is repentance from sin and a turning to God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But outwardly, the fruit of the Spirit and obedience. So if you're a Christian, you say this morning, I don't want to meet God without a daysman, a mediator, a go-between. I don't want to meet my Maker on the basis of who I am in my sins. My only hope for acceptance before God is in the life and obedience of his Son, Jesus Christ. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Is that your heart this morning? And then outwardly in your life, there's some evidence of this fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying perfection, but a change. It's a gradual change, usually. Sometimes there is a definitive sanctification where God works in the life of someone who becomes a believer, and some sins, as if the root of them is, bang, cut straight away. And sometimes that happens. Someone who has a foul mouth becomes a Christian, and almost overnight, that cursing and swearing is taken away. But usually, most sins, even that area of life, it's one of gradual increasing change, Christ-likeness. And then also this principled obedience to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And if we were to ask the Apostle John, how many of the commandments, John would say, all of them. You have a desire for what the old writers call a universal obedience. You don't pick and choose which of the commandments you'll obey. You say, oh, I like this one, I'll keep this one. But this one is a bit tricky, this one, so I'll ignore this one. No, the psalmist says, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. And even if there's a yard of command and just an inch of obedience, you're going in the right direction. That's the trajectory of your life. And by the grace of God, you want to go the full yard. You sang a number of hymns this morning about putting God first in our lives and not letting idols, other things intrude. So when God says, you shall have no other gods before me, you say, whatever the interest, the hobby, the person, the love, you take the command seriously. You say, I don't have the right to dictate the terms on which I come to God. Whatever it is, my job, my interests, my hobbies, my time, my money, the dearest idol, let every idol be forgot, says Krishna Pal. But, oh my soul, forget him not. What's he saying? He's saying God first, Jesus first, in everything. So if we ask the question, what is this fruit that Jesus is talking about? When he talks about good soil producing fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. Inwardly, in the heart, it's repentance and faith. Outwardly, in life, there are many other things, I'm sure, but these at least are included. The fruit of the Spirit and evangelical obedience, a life of holiness, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So you may say to me this morning, Lord, I feel my love for Jesus is weak and faint. My love isn't all that I want it to be. My love isn't all I hope it to be. But I want Jesus to have first place in my heart and life. I don't want to allow anything else to rival his first place there. I say, ah, that's the response of good soil. Jesus spoke about the terms of coming to him. Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So the Bible challenges us this morning, do you hear the word of God? In other words, not just with outward hearing of the ears, but with a spiritual understanding of the heart. More than just words, when Jesus speaks about heaven and hell, forgiveness and righteousness, peace and joy, salvation and grace, obedience to God, the Ten Commandments, your spiritual eyes have been opened. You see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and you say, I want to keep the word of God. how to hold it fast, how to give my whole heart, my whole-souled commitment to Jesus Christ. And you're bearing fruit then. The outward patterns, the fruit of the Spirit, obedience to the Ten Commandments. Bearing fruit with patience, with endurance, with perseverance. That's what God is talking about when we say the Bible's message is sown in the hearts of people, and the heart is good soil. The root of the matter, saving faith, is there. The plant is bearing fruit, and the best is yet to be. In the world to come, all the hostile influences will be removed. The devil, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things entering in, the thorn bushes will all be cleared. In that world of glory, for those who trust in Jesus Christ, none but love the Lord will be there. And if you're a Christian this morning, you will be there, and you desire to love and serve him, but in that world to come, his name will not be taken in vain anymore. His law will not be despised. The gospel will not be rejected. The plantings of the Lord will flourish and blossom with a beauty that will cause angels to be astonished, says the Bible. Such glory. How amazing it is that when God gets done with his people, says the Bible, we shall see him and we shall be like him. But in the meantime, yes, there are hostile influences in this world, and yet our life and our love is not what we want it to be yet. But it's moving in this Christ-like direction. The fruit of the Spirit is evidenced. Obedience to God is growing. Is your heart good soil? Because those outward evidences, the fruit of the Spirit and obedience to God, are the result of an inward work of God, repentance and faith. Now, anything less than that, and you're not a Christian. The word of God has not brought salvation to you. But you can cry to God this morning and say, Lord, make my heart good soil. Make my heart a heart that bears fruit and continues to bear fruit, which is the sure evidence that you have made a saving response to the gospel. Is your heart good soil this morning? And if you're unsure, or you know that you're not right before God, well now, seek him, cry to him, ask him. And God will never turn away someone who honestly comes and cries out to him, Lord, make my heart good soil to receive your word. Help me to receive it this morning with faith, with repentance, and bring forth in my life the fruit of the Spirit and obedience to God. So let's come to God now. Let's pray together. Lord, we cry out to you this morning. One man sows, another waters. It's God who gives the increase. We pray for that work of the Holy Spirit in heart and life. Inward, repentance, faith. Outwardly in our lives, those who are believers here this morning, Lord, increasingly that you will produce by your Holy Spirit the fruit of the Spirit and a holy obedience to the Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us. We know, all of us, we fall short of God's standards. But we thank you for Christ's blood to cleanse us and his righteousness to cover us. And so we come this morning and thank you, Lord, for your grace to us in such a Saviour. What a glorious, what a wonderful Saviour we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us as we come now, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song that we learnt some months ago now, which talks about this whole-souled response to the word of God. O great God of highest heaven, occupy, take control, every part, occupy my lowly heart. We'll stand to sing this together.
Oh,
Let's come to God, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that heart response that comes to Jesus Christ this morning. Occupy my lowly heart. We thank you that in repentance and faith we come to the Saviour. We pray, Lord, that increasingly the fruit of the Spirit and holy obedience will be evident in our lives. And for those who have never done so before, to even cry out and pray this morning, Lord Jesus, occupy my lowly heart. No one who comes to Jesus like that is ever turned away. So may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit now rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.